This Christmas, let's share the greatest gift ever given, Jesus Christ. Compassion International invites your church to join the Giving Tree Project, helping children in poverty overcome barriers and discover hope in Christ. With a Giving Tree kit, your congregation can provide life-changing resources like food, clean water, and sustainable income to families in need. Visit compassion.com/familygoals today to order your free church kit and make this Christmas a season of hope and transformation. That's compassion.com/familygoals. Be the difference this Christmas.
Family Goals back, Pastor Jay, and talking about giving and how good we feel about giving, and talking about the banquet of blessings coming up that the church is doing with the Pollock Family Foundation.
Yeah, and Jesus made it clear, whatever we do for the least of these, we're doing for Him.
And we're shooting a promo and you're drinking water. Seriously, stop it. Let's get to it.
I'm happy to talk to you.
So basically, are you recording yet? Okay. So basically what you're saying is like, it's fun doing the show, but it'd be a lot more fun with somebody else.
It would be great. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, don't you get tired of talking to me? You hear from me all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I hear from you on Sunday. Yeah. I see your ugly face. Yeah. Like, yeah, I get you a lot. So I get that, but I mean, I wouldn't say it out loud probably, but I'm not rude. That's okay.
So let's dive in. You had your coaching debut last night.
There we go. Walker Hayes is in. I just texted
Walker
him.
Hayes is in?
Yeah, so he's in.
And you get in Primetime's going to do it?
Coach, I'm in. Coach, you tell Prime. Me when. I'm working on Primetime, and then I got a golfer that everybody might know that I'm working on too.
Let's go ahead and say it. Scotty Scheffler.
Who's that?
Who is Scotty Scheffler?
Never heard of him.
You never heard of him? The greatest golfer on the planet?
By the way, I did have a good golf score the other day. Shot 79.
That's, man, anytime you break 80, anytime I'm in the 70s, that's awesome.
So I figured out the game of golf. I've got it figured out.
Please expound.
Okay.
Please explain it to me.
I went in the club. I went in the pro shop, and all the clubs are really expensive.
Okay.
So I went in the pro shop, and I was like, hey, what are these? And they're like, these are demos. And I'm like, hey, can I hit that one? And it was a 3-wood. I've never hit a 3-wood in my life.
Okay.
So
you bet a 3-wood way further than I hit my driver.
So they said yes. So okay. I took the 3-wood. That was like 4 or 5 weeks ago. So I've never given it back, which is outstanding. So it's a free club, which is awesome. And I hit it like 265 to 270. And yeah, it just, instead of that like violent turn that my driver
right,
does,
yeah, big,
it goes very slightly to the right. And golly, if I stay in the fairway, the game becomes a lot simpler.
Yeah.
So,
and you're good at chipping and putting.
Yeah,
already,
that's the easy part.
Which is
the easy part of the game for sure.
Well, for you, not for everybody else.
Yeah, your putting isn't spectacular. I feel like if you could putt, you'd be a really good golfer.
Yeah. So
is that fair?
Yeah. So the other day, I was playing with my normal crew, and they invited this other guy to play with us, and he hadn't played in like 20 years. So after the first hole, I said, "Hey, let's play a scramble. Let's like us two, like the new guy that hadn't played in 20 years against you two."
Okay.
So I'm in the fairway. I'm on the green. The other guy who hadn't played in 20 years, he was making putts. And I said, man, if you could just putt. Well, so we shot even par on the scramble, but we literally didn't take any of his shots
except for the putts. Changes
like,
everything.
Like if you could putt for me,
it changes everything.
I would be a scratch golfer.
Well, and like yesterday or a couple of days ago when I played, like I don't 3-putt. Like
that's amazing.
I just putt it up. If it's from a long putt, then I just lag it up and it's just a tap in. And those are easy. I mean, it's just, it's not, the putting is easy because you just bring it back and bring it forward. There's no skill. Like there's no like long, all of this skill to it. It's just kind of ting, ting.
So last Saturday,
I'm almost ready to take you on.
I was rolling in putts last Saturday. So I shot 4 birdies on the front 9.
Jeez.
35. So I'm thinking, all right, I'm gonna
break 4 birdies and you shot 35?
Yeah, I had some bogeys.
God, that's hard to do. It's hard to have 4 birdies and shoot 35. So you were 4 under, and then on the other holes you were basically 3 over.
Yeah, 3 over. Yeah, so I had 3 bogeys, jeez, 4 birdies.
You ruined the chance of a really good round there.
Well, I had 13 putts on the front. So I keep up with my putts, which is pretty dang good for me.
You putt from the rough?
Huh? No. No, I'm chipping.
People will know that movie reference. Some people won't.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's one of the best movie references of all time. It's Good Will Hunting. It says, you putt from the rough. few seconds ago, you were ready to give me a jump. Give you a jump.
It sounds like some kind of sexual comment or something. Where are we going with this podcast?
Fantastic. All right. We got golf. Sorry.
So most importantly, I noticed you have on your Masters shirt.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to remind you, you're taking me to the Masters this year. I've got it on my calendar. It's April 10th through 13th, so I want to double check.
I thought you were telling me we're playing. I was getting on the course.
No, I've already given up on playing Augusta National.
Because my buddy came up to me yesterday in the stands at a baseball game or at a basketball game. Leah's first high school basketball game was last night. He came up to me and he said, when are you taking me to Augusta? Like, I'm still holding out hope. He said, even if it's I'm 60, he's in his 40s. I was like, even if I'm 60, I'm still planning on you taking me. I was like, wait a minute, I didn't agree to take you, but
yeah.
So
no one is jumping ahead of me in the.
You just want to go to the.
I just want to go watch, and you've promised me that you're taking me.
We can make that happen. The problem is I have to go. I don't want to go.
That's fine. We'll go. I can drive. I can take us.
I don't want you to drive. You drive like a grandma. Absolutely not. Like, I'm driving. Well, we're good.
I don't even think you've ever really ridden in the car with me.
I know you enough. I know you wear whitey tighties and you drive like a grandpa.
I am a boxer brief guy for sure. And we're trying to get the first lady a ticket. And I know that you kind of are you writing this down? Do I need to talk to Lindsay about this?
100%. If you want to get it done, yes. So Walker Hayes texted me back. He said, I'm at the gym. We'll be done in 2 hours.
Are we getting him on? Are we doing him today?
So that means around 11 o'clock we can get him today. So rock and roll.
Sweet. So let's talk about this coaching debut. Lindsay texted me last night. Of course, you were a part of the text too. Lindsay and I do not text each other one-on-one. That you had your coaching debut last night. And I know you were playing my daughter's high school.
Loganville
High School with Coach Zorn.
They're bad.
And I texted Coach Grayson, give him a heads up. Hey, watch out for Pollock. He's coming in tonight. And look, okay, let's talk about this. 100-33.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Have y'all ever heard about like clearing the bench?
We did.
Like letting everyone, like subbing people in and letting other people play?
We did. The whole second half.
Is Leah playing varsity?
Yeah, she had her first start last night.
She's starting for varsity as a ninth grader?
She is, yeah. She's doing good.
That's impressive. How tall is she?
Almost 5'9". The interesting thing with our team is we have so many girls now that can play. So when we go 10 deep, and when we go 14 deep, like at North with these girls, like they can all play. Like there's nobody that can't play. So our subbing is...
You have 14 players?
We got 14 girls that can play.
12 was the limit.
I don't know what the limit is. I don't think there's a limit of you can dress anymore, but I'm saying we got 14 girls that can go. Like they can really play, they can put it in the bucket, they can defend. Like we got a good thing going at North with the girls basketball and the boys too. The boys are good as well, but so it makes it easy to coach when you have good players. So good start.
So what's your role on the coaching staff?
Me and Coach Willis and Coach Moore, Coach Stewart, like we all work together, but it's really fun because the strategy of it is new. Like, I've done football for years now, but I'm like, what do you need me to look at? What do you need me to fix? What do you need me to concentrate on?
You're like the stat guy? You like keeping the stats?
No, I don't do stats, but Coach Moore does stats. But I'm just looking at, like, when we call a play, what do we do it correctly from the post standpoint? Defensively, what are they in? Like, what are they in defensively? So what do we need to jump in offensively? And then motivating the girls and keeping them engaged. And they sit next to me while coach is coaching and I'll grab them and talk. So it's fun as crud.
You like coaching the bigs?
No.
Do they still have that? Do they still have –
yeah,
a lot of basketball, you don't have positions anymore.
Yeah, we have bigs. We have a unicorn down low, a girl that's just unbelievable. She's the number one softball player in the country. And she's going to Oklahoma. And she's unbelievable. She's 5'9", 5'10". I mean, she can play. Like, she's athletic as can be. It's crazy. She's really, really good. But we're going to be we can win a state championship with this group. It's a good group. So
I'm coming. I got to come watch y'all play.
Yeah, you'll like it.
Yeah, I go to a lot of Coach Grayson's games, and he was saying that last night they held in there. He said it was about a 7 or 8 point game, and then North pulled away at the end. It's like a 17 point by the end.
That's usually what people say when they lose. Like, it was really close. We could have won, but they pulled away at the end and beat us by 17.
He never said they could have won, but he was just happy that they kept it somewhat reasonable because he said y'all are really good.
Yeah, pretty solid.
So I got another question for you before we dive into content. Cool. One of our mutual friends, I'm not going to mention his name, but I was talking to him last night, and so his son plays high school football. His son's one of the better players on their high school team. And their athletic director came to him and said, hey, we need to hire a new head football coach. Wants you to be on like the search committee to try to find a new. So he wanted me to ask you, what are some qualities that they should be looking for as they're looking to hire a new head football coach?
That's a great question. That's an awesome question. First of all, I think there's a lot that goes into that, but I think whoever you hire needs to have a vision of what they want it to be, and you need to like that vision. Like, what do you expect our team to look like? It'd be no different than you're hiring with a business. Like, what is the direction this business is going to go? Like, what kind of style of offense are you going to run? What kind of style of defense? How are you going to lead these kids? Like, what's the most important pillars? Like, you have to have pillars of – like, if I was getting interviewed for a job, it's going to be, like, my faith is not negotiable. Like, that's something I'm going to share. Fun is going to be a non-negotiable. Physicality is going to be a non-negotiable. Discipline, toughness. Like, that's we're going to build our program on X, Y, and Z. So it's kind of cool to, you know, and then obviously there's offensive philosophies, defensive philosophies. There's a lot that goes into it. But I think you want to know, like, can you cast a vision? If you can't get me to buy into your vision, then the kids ain't going to buy into your vision, right? Like, mm-hmm. So I think that's an easy question to ask and then let them talk and see how organized and structured they are when it comes to that.
So it kind of seems like you would have to really hear from the different coaches because it's not like you could create the vision for that coach. You've got to let him run his program, run his vision.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. You can create a vision for me, but if that's not my vision and that's not my calling, it doesn't matter. But I got to walk in my calling.
But sound like faith was, I mean, that's like, you want to hire someone's a person of faith.
I do, yes. Yeah. And then like, I won't coach, because there's a good chance I'm going to coach in the future, whether it probably will be high school. Like, I want that opportunity to pour into kids and lead, but, like, I will not take a job if faith is not something that I can pour into, because I'm defeating the purpose of why I'm here.
Yeah.
So
would you go with hiring a younger coach that's more hungry, or would you more go with an older, experienced coach?
I think you got to see what your program needs. And most of the time what people do is they go opposite of what they had. If they had an older guy that was a little conservative, they go with a younger, fiery guy just to get a different message and a different voice. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Your players get their energy from the coach. So if you can't motivate me and you can't paint a picture and you don't have good energy, like, you can go ahead and tell them to leave. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can know as much ball as they want. If they can't have conversations and get their points across to you, it doesn't matter. It won't work with kids. So I think those are all things to consider.
Yeah, I think that's great advice, because a lot of things you're talking about are the intangibles, not necessarily the strategy of the X's and the O's.
I mean, X's and O's are important, but that's their OC and their DC. Mm-hmm. That's their coordinators that they're hiring. You know, that because you're going to hire those guys to run those shows.
Mm-hmm. So I have a gift for you. Before we get into
it's been
the,
a while since you've
podcast.
Given me a gift.
Well, this gift isn't actually from me personally to you. Okay. This is a gift from Greystone Church to the Pollock Family Foundation to help support the Banquet of Blessings. So
sweet.
I've got a check here from Greystone Church.
Dang.
$5,000 Pollock Jeez. Family Foundation for the Banquet of Blessings.
Appreciate that, brother. Thank you.
You are welcome.
I feel like I need to hold it up and, hey, thank you very much.
Well, I'll let you
could
think.
Could it not be a big one?
I'll let you think, Greystone Church.
I want the big one, like Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, those big ones don't have much value to them.
They don't have any value. They look dope. No, but thank you, Greystone.
You want to thank Greystone?
Thank you very much. Last year, y'all supported us, and the band's going to play praise and worship at the event, which is really, really cool, but the Banquet of Blessings is one of the cooler things we've ever done. Like, last year.
It. Yeah, so nice.
We basically we bus in the homeless in the surrounding area in Athens. And then what we realized too is there's a lot of people in need in that area regardless that are going to drive to the Classic Center. And if they drive there, they are going to get served a meal. They're going to get served dessert, drink, all that. Like, and we're going to have great audience and band. And then you're going to walk around and you're basically going to get gifts. Think about Christmas morning. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be hoodies and gloves and book bags. And if you want a sleeping bag, wool socks. Like, you're going to get books, toys for kids. It's pretty cool. So thank you very much, dudes. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. We're honored to be a part of it. And I just appreciate you all doing it and letting us play a small part of it. Of course, Jennifer and I will be there to help do our part and support. And last year we had the job of just walking around, meeting people, praying with people.
It's kind of fun, isn't it?
It's pretty cool. You know, how can I pray for you? And out of ministry.
The biggest thing I took away from last year is, like, it's our responsibility to kind of build a heart for the next generation. Like, we've got to help I got to help my kids see that there are people that are in need and how to go attack that. And again, it's not your fault that you were born to what you have, but it is your fault if you don't do something about it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's my biggest thing. That's what I told with all the kids. And so I have a buddy. He's 40. He was 47 years old last year. 47. He called me after the banquet. He said, I'm 47 years old. I've never done this. I said, well, what did you do? He said, after the event, I went to Popeyes to get something to eat. I'm like, well, that was your first mistake. You shouldn't be eating the late and eating Popeyes. But he said there was a guy holding a sign out front, and he said, it said, I just want food. I don't want anything else. I just want food. I'm hungry and I want food. Don't want money. Don't want anything else. And he said, he walked up to him. He said, what do you want? And it makes me want to tear up because, like, literally, he said, I would have never done that if we didn't do the event. So, like, if we bring that to our senses, and now, like, God starts to tug at you and say, hey, go do something, you know, do something for them, do something for them. And so I think it was cool to see somebody who was even older, you immediately was changed by what he saw. Imagine what it can do for the younger generation and what we could do for the country, one step at a time, one person at a time, to help them grow, to help them get better, to give them an opportunity that they might not have.
Yeah. And I told Jennifer, I love how the high school kids, your kids and their friends, we're serving the food to the homeless, to the needy. And so I told Jennifer, like, we got to bring Jessie. Like, Jessie has to be, she's living in a bubble too. I mean, just like your kids are living in a bubble, she's living in her own little world.
Yeah.
And so to see those people coming off the streets with, I mean, some of the people had all of their possessions with them.
Yeah.
And some of the people are just getting to go boxes because they didn't want to be late for the shut-in. They didn't want to get, like, locked out or wherever they were worried. They had to get
didn't
want
to miss the buses.
They didn't want to,
the bus transportation.
So there's a whole, so if someone wanted to get involved in the Banquet of Blessings, how could they get involved? Do y'all still need donations?
We definitely do. You know, it's the Pollock Family Foundation. You can go and you can see and you can click and you can donate. Like, you could, we have sponsorships for sleeping bag sponsors and coat sponsors that are up to $10,000, which is a lot. Like, but we also have plates. Like, you can sponsor one person to eat for $20-something. Like, and you know,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so you know one person. Like, we want everybody to be able to contribute. Like, big, small, like, whatever you want to do. But it's also been really cool because, you know, we told everybody, like, with our golf tournament, you know, you're going to get signage. Like, you're going to get your name on our shirt. And you're going to get your name, you know, on a sleeve. On the tee holes, you'll have your company. You ain't getting that for the Banquet of Blessings. Like, this is to put a big old smile on Jesus' face.
It's not marketing, advertising.
Correct. So it's been really, really fun that we get to do that and we get to be a part of it. It's been fun to watch people, you know, donate socks. Kent Wool donated socks last year and is donating socks this year. And, like, just so many people that and companies that have come on board and, like, dude, I love what you did. And we have video of it last year, which is cool. So you can see it and kind of experience it, kind of feel it. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate you bringing it up. Now,
yeah, it's awesome. So we got in this huge discussion in my men's discipleship group a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about helping the homeless, and people were questioning, like, well, I don't want to just give somebody money because they might go buy drugs or they might buy alcohol. So we got in this huge debate over what you should do if someone asks you for money.
We need to talk about this.
Now, let's talk about it right now. We can talk about it today.
Yeah.
And so what I was explaining to them, so there's a lot of factors involved. But one is the easiest thing to do is, what do you want to eat? I'll go buy you food right now. And so it's similar to what your friend did at Popeyes.
Yeah.
And so we got into that discussion. But then people were saying, well, I don't want to stop and help somebody on the side of the road because what if they have a gun and what if they are going to hijack, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so we got in this huge discussion, this huge debate about it. And one of the things that I'm a big believer in is if God is leading you to do something, like if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you're being sensitive to this divine appointment. I remember one time Jennifer and I, when I was in seminary, we had $0, and I was coming out of the church one day, and I met a guy in the parking lot, and he was telling me that he needed rent money for his hotel, and it was going to be $40. We didn't have much; we had very little money at the time, and so, but I felt led to give the man a check for $40. So I come back, Jennifer's picking me up. We only had one car. Jennifer's picking me up. And she said, what was that all about? I said, well, he needed some rent money. And she's like, well, how much? She said, $40. She's like, well, I hope you didn't give it to him. And I said, well, I did. I wrote him a check for $40. She's like, what if he goes and spends it on alcohol? Or what if he goes and spends it on drugs? I'm like, God led me to give the man $40. Whatever
what he does with that has nothing to do with me.
That has nothing to do with me. No. I'm being faithful to do what God led me to do, and it's up to him to do whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like I can't control what somebody else is going to do with
no.
All I can't. I don't want to give my charity or my. I want to help somebody else with strings attached to it.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about it. I think if God's leading you to help someone and give them money, then you give them money, and then it's up to them to decide what.
Yeah, and you know, be a joyful giver. But that's how I feel about it too. Is like it doesn't matter. I think we look immediately, size up, and feel like some kind of way. Like, why are you begging here? Mm-hmm. Like you like go work. Like I think I've had those feelings before, just being honest, like go work instead of begging and you can go make money. But I think you're right, man. Like it's not our decision. It's God's. And if God's tugging you to do it, like do it. And then don't worry about the rest. Like we don't have to worry about anything else. Like that has nothing to do with us. And what if, like you talk about having a what if faith, mm-hmm, yeah. Didn't we talk about that weeks ago? Like yeah. What if that's the showing of kindness, and what if that's the money they needed to go make something happen? What if that changes their life? Like, you're probably not giving money you miss. You're not giving away money that you're gonna be like, crap, I'm missing the mortgage this month yourself. So if you're giving away some money and you're being obedient, like, then who knows where it goes? Mm-hmm. Like, but I think if God's tugging at you, then there's a reason.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that mission, and you need to make sure you get it accomplished.
Well, I think you can do the same thing with the banquet of blessings. You could say, well, and there's always the critics out there. They're like, well, does that person really need whatever we're giving them? Or does that person really need the meal? And I'm thinking, if they're showing up and humbling themselves to come get a meal or to come get a backpack or a sleep, they probably need it.
Yeah.
Like someone's not just taking advantage of the system.
And that's last year. So when we were designing the Banquet of Blessings, the guy said, like, if you don't do tickets, he was like, then this is basically going to be open to everybody. He's like, so is the homeless the real focus? Yes, the homeless is the focus. That's why we use the buses and the transportation to mm-hmm. get people there. But I was like, if someone drives their car and they need food and they need dessert and they need stuff, like, we'll give it to them. No yeah. questions asked. Yeah. And does that cost a lot of money? We bought 1,000 coats, 1,000 sleeping mm-hmm. bags, like 1,000 hoodies, like, there's a lot of things that we purchased, but, and this year is going to be 1,400. Like last year I told Lindsay, I'm like, we're going to have 1,000 people here. I was like, this year we're going to have 1,400. So we got the kids' toys and the jumpy house. Like we got two jumpy houses now instead of just one. And it's in a bigger room where it's all connected. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like that's fun, man. Like yeah. that's a fun part of the equation. Like we get to plug in, we get to find these areas that people are, like you got a lot of people in your life that just sometimes need some encouragement, need some love. And we can offer that. It doesn't have to be financially, mm-hmm. but like if those people get there and they feel something different, because there's a reason we did it like we did it. When you walked in, you had the choir playing. Mm-hmm. So you hear Jesus. When you came to every single table at the Banquet of Blessings, every single table had scripture. So you could see Jesus. Mm-hmm. Everybody who was there that was serving, it's their job to let them feel Jesus. Like that mm-hmm. was that's the mission. That's the goal. Like we were trying to show them. And listen, we told all of them, like we bought these things brand new. Like we don't go take used coats and donations, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, but we wanted to be able to look all these people in the eyes like, hey, we love you. You matter. And we mm-hmm. bought this for you. So I think there's so many people doing good things that you can give mm-hmm. to. And what I've learned is like, I really love the things that I can be a part of. And the things that I can watch, I new things are hard to create. Like that, we've learned that in this space. Like I'm doing X. Well, it's hard it's a hard vision to paint. But once you've done something and you can show people, like once we can show people mm-hmm. that video of last year,
yeah.
Once you got to come, like you're in. There's everybody that volunteered last year at the Banquet of Blessings. every single one of them's coming back. Like every single one of them. They're like, put me down. Put me down. I'm
in. Why do you think that is?
Because they saw that they can make a difference. Mm-hmm. I think they saw that it mattered, and they saw people that when you were hungry, you fed me. You know, like when you were in prison, you came to visit me. Yeah. Like I think you saw that you had the ability to impact people, and you saw. I mean, I had people hugging me, like, thank you so much. And you know, you don't do it for that. And that was my prayer last year coming in. I'm like, Lord, like, don't let this be about them saying thank you, but their enjoyment of it and what I perceive their enjoyment of it. Like, let me do this because I'm supposed to do this because we're supposed to take care of people in need. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm one bad decision away from being that person. As I like to tell my kids, like, you're one bad decision away from living a life. Like, that's just one choice sometimes. And what if we can help them become that one choice that takes them back? And like, the goal is, you know, I told Lindsay, I'm like, the goal is to grow, and we want to grow this thing and serve more people. But what if somebody comes back the next year and is like, dude, my life has changed and I'm doing this and I'm working, I'm doing that. That would be even better. You know, that would be even a bigger reward.
I love how you quoted Matthew 25, whatever you do for the least of these, you're doing for me. And I think a lot of times, so in my discussion with my discipleship group, a lot of the guys were skeptics, like stopping and helping somebody on the side of the road. What if they have a gun? Or what if they don't use the money for food and they use the money for alcohol or drugs or whatever? But once we studied that passage, okay, let's go see what the Bible says. Once we studied that passage on whatever you do for the least of these, you're doing it for me. Well, now when you're driving, seeing somebody on the side of the road, we were kind of joking around, like, well, if it's a female, are you stopping? If it's a, you know, like it was just funny.
And let's right there real quick and then pick it back up. I don't want my wife stopping with a male on the side of the street. Like, that's a different animal.
Yeah, we got in that whole discussion. Yeah,
that's a different animal to me.
Yeah.
Like in certain situations, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with being smart about that. Like, but when people on the side of the road too, like, and somebody has a flat tire, like, I love having all of my family in the car. And I love driving up to them, stopping, and seeing if they need help. Yeah. Like,
this is basic.
I love
that's
that.
What we were talking
that's
about.
Basic humanity. Yeah. Like, that's, and guess what? I would want somebody to stop for me. But like, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just, like, there is a difference too. I don't want my wife and my daughter doing that.
Right, like, sure. And then we got in that whole thing. Like, you wouldn't want your wife stopping. And if it's like two dudes changing a tire, well, they're good.
They
got it. You know, it's not like
they got it.
It's not like a woman and her kids in distress. Like,
we passed one the other day,
like,
and
they're good.
It was a lady bossing a dude around. I'm like, they're good. Like, that's absolutely, they're right down the side of the road. I'm like, I slowed down. I'm like, all right, do they need me? And I was like, she's telling him what to do. They're good. They're good. They're absolutely good. But
yeah, so I think that's a great episode there. Do we want to dive into some content?
No, I think that was good. I mean, I think that's. Let's stop.
That could be, yeah.
Let's stop there. Like,
how long?
Let's end that better.
30 minutes.
Oh, that's a great episode.
But we need to end that better, don't we? Than just saying that? Or are you fine with that?
Maybe you could just wrap it up a little bit better. Instead of just like, was that a good episode? Maybe say, like, you know, these are some good.
I didn't know we were going to talk about this the whole time.
Yeah,
but this,
I didn't either.
Just say that. I didn't know we were going to talk about this the whole time. Yeah. But this is stuff that
was
on our heart.
I was thinking that's a good episode, and then I can save this all this for the next one.
And then we'll get Walker Howard Hayes in 2 hours.
So
or an hour and a half now. Go ahead. That's not really what you had planned, is it?
No, like
that,
but
the whole episode
I think that's,
went differently than
that's
we.
That's a great episode. That's total off what God led us to talk about. And I do think you do it. You also do it because it does make you feel good. Like when you help somebody else out, I mean, ultimately we do it because God's leading us to do it. We're helping someone in need. We're truly caring for the least of these. And
there's also nothing wrong with feeling good about doing it.
And that's why I think the people want to come back, because you feel good about when you help somebody else. And then you say to yourself, why don't we do this more often?
Yeah. Like, so I guess here's their challenge then, because we love to challenge our listeners.
Yeah.
Where do you need to plug in? Where is that spot that you're like, because the holiday season is always cool. Like being able to support families and give them gifts and do different things. So just find some stuff over the next, you know, couple months, over the next week, actually. Just like, see an opportunity, like pray for an opportunity that God can open up that you can walk through and you can go make a difference and serve and take care of the least of these.
And I think the holidays is a great time to do it. Thanksgiving, Christmas, mm-hmm. like buying presents for kids in a needy family. We do a big Foster Fun Day where we do the owners of Stars and Strikes in Decula. They open up Stars and Strikes Saturday morning, and they let all the Foster families come for free, play all the games. We do pizza. We do desserts. We bring in all these gifts, and we let the kids, they get to go shopping, and they pick out a gift for their mom or dad, and then we wrap it up for them and give it to them. And then we also give them presents. So anyway, that's another great thing.
Well, this is also proof that, and we'll end it with this. This is proof that you don't have to do all this planning you do. It happens. All that planning's overrated. Thank you.